Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. With Christmas now just a few days away, Kindles and Nooks and iPads are flying off the shelves. But what are you going to read on those various e-readers that you're buying for yourselves or maybe you're buying as gifts for other people? So joining us to talk about some of the best local books and local authors of 2010 is Mark Pearson. He's a buyer at Brookline Booksmith. Welcome to you, Mark.
Thank you.
And also Josh Cook, who's a bookseller at Porter Square Books in Cambridge. Josh, welcome to you, too.
Thank you, Evan.
And listeners, we want to know what your favorite reads were from 2010, particularly if you've been reading a lot of Boston books or Boston-themed books. We want you to weigh in on what books you think are worth buying and reading. And if you're still reading hard copy books, we want to know whether you still are or whether you have transitioned over to e-readers and what you've thought about the experience. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment online at wbur.org/Boston. So Josh Cook of Porter Square Books and Mark Pearson of Brookline Booksmith. We know, of course, that it's been a very good year for e-readers. iPads, Kindles, Nooks, they're really selling well. But has it been a good year for actual book sales for the two of you? And Mark Pearson of Brookline Booksmith, why don't you start first? Are people still buying books, hardcover books?
I would say definitely. This past Saturday actually marks the best day we've ever had in our almost 50-year history at the store.
Really?
In terms of traffic and in terms of sales of books. So as far as the e-reader takeover, I'm not feeling it as much. I think people like connection, and I think they come in to get that connection. You know, we can offer a lot more than sitting on your computer and choosing stuff kind of at random, or it may be suggestions that you've read elsewhere. I mean, you can communicate with us. And I think that human element has given us an advantage.
And Mark Pearson of Brookline Booksmith, that huge sales day you just said you had, how much do you think is due to it's the last-minute holiday rush, people buying presents? And how much is also this being Boston? It's a city of big readers.
Yeah, I think it's obviously both, but it's nice to see that people are choosing books. And in our neighborhood in particular, I think book culture is pretty vibrant. So we've been around for about 50 years. So I don't foresee that ending.
And Josh Cook of Porter Square Books, you're a much newer store.
Mm-hmm, yep.
You're in Porter Square Shopping Center in Cambridge. It's a tiny spot, but you've made it, there's a cafe and there's a lot of book readings, and it's always very filled with people. But I wonder if that means people are actually buying books rather than just coming and reading and listening and having some coffee and snacks.
Well, it's interesting to think that some of the biggest bestsellers this season are a $35 4-pound hardcover by an author who's been dead for 100 years in the Mark Twain autobiography.
Oh, really? That's
and
a big seller for you.
It's huge.
No,
we've got stacks.
Us,
and
yes.
Stacks. And of course, the Keith Richards biography, another $30 huge hardcover, exactly the kind of thing that we were expecting to be replaced by digital copies. So people are coming in, buying them. We've had a great holiday season so far. And we've had a lot of support from the community. People really talk about wanting a bookstore in their area.
And they're willing to support it and buy things from it.
Correct.
Josh Cook of Porter Square Books, what is the most popular book sold in your store this year?
This year it was, not too surprising, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the first book in the Stieg Larsson Millennium Trilogy.
Uh-huh.
And that's exciting because it's reached a real mainstream mass popularity, but it started as hand sells and recommendations in independent bookstores around the country before it reached that peak.
And Mark Pearson of Brookline Booksmith, what is the most popular book you sold in your store this year?
Well, Josh nailed it, too. It's a pretty, it's a book you're going to find everywhere. However, I was more locally minded when you guys posed this question, and our bigger local books, right now, vying for first is Flower by Joanne
Chang's cookbook.
It's an amazing book with wonderful recipes and stories.
This is Joanne Chang, who has three flower bakeries
Correct.
Now. Anne Myers and Chang Restaurant just put out her first cookbook. We had her on the show about a month ago, and the calls
That's
lit up
show.
With people wanting to talk to her.
Yeah, and Isabel Wilkerson from BU here with The Warmth of Other Suns, another very big book for us.
About diaspora of
yeah,
African-Americans
yeah, yeah.
from the South to the North. So those are local books. Actually, let me go back to you for a minute, Josh Cook, because you mentioned The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but what was the best locally selling book at your store, Porter Square Books?
We've had a couple of interesting surprises. The Flower by Joanne Chang was also successful. We also had a fun little internet success with a book called We Go as Captives about a obscure raid in southern Vermont during the Revolutionary War, where we had the author read, and it was listed on our website, and we got orders from it all over New England.
How do you explain that?
We were the first Google search return for it.
That's simple.
And we've also had a big increase in sales for a book called Citizen Somerville, which is a Winter Hill Gang memoir that has been independently published and has just come available. It is actually sold right out. We won't get more till the 29th. But it's another big kind of surprise local bestseller that we've had.
I want to go to a caller who wants to weigh in about the comparison between e-readers and hardcover books. And this is Tom calling from Sudbury. Tom, you teach college?
I teach college in the Boston area. And I gave my students in one class this semester a research assignment to compare the economic and environmental benefits and trade-offs of hardcover versus e-text. We've got four clear conclusions. Number one, the only clear environmental benefit of e-text has to do with not losing as many trees. Number two, the energy trade-off, we've got a lot of conflicting data whether it will take 70 or 300 e-books to be read on the same machine to make up for the energy and resource and pollution deficiencies from an e-text. Number three, the per unit percentage of profit for an e-text is, for both the publisher, considerably higher than for a hardcover book. And number four, due to our conflicts of data, this is going to be a live assignment for the next couple of semesters, and it's going to be a lot of fun to keep going with.
So you're saying there's not necessarily, Tom, you're saying there's not necessarily a benefit, environmental benefit to reading e-books, but of course there's the convenience factor that might trump for everyone a lot of this. And then many people also just, you know, if they want hardcover books, they just want that experience, that tactile experience.
Absolutely. And I'm an old guy. I prefer hardcover, so let's not count that. But I'm getting very mixed reactions from my students about convenience. They're recognizing that different people's eyes work differently, and they're very paranoid about loss or breakage of a fairly expensive reader.
Tom, thank you for that. Let me turn to Josh Cook of Porter Square Books. When you find that your customers are going more for e-books than hardcovers, why do they say they're doing that?
At the moment, they're not.
And they're committed to hardcovers.
Yeah, and it looks like into the at least the near future, there's going to be a fairly peaceful coexistence, at least in our store. For example, we had a customer who lives in Arlington, is abroad in Mexico now, and bought an e-book from us while in Mexico.
So they want to curl up with a hardcover at home and have the e-book for the airplane, something like that.
An option to support us internationally, wider range. So it'll be a long time before we see dust settle on this, and I think we're going to see a lot longer time of majority of books being bought still being in hardcover.
And Mark Pearson, are you finding the same from at Brookline Booksmith?
Yeah, pretty much. It seems to be a more commuter friendly mode of reading for folks. I'm curious about what the e-waste would be on, you know, I mean, obviously you're going to have the planned obsolescence of these devices. They're going to keep pushing new ones that are like slicker and thinner or what have you, and I'm wondering about the environmental impact on that sort of thing as well.
That might take a while to play out. We have a caller from Somerville who wants to recommend two books by local authors.
Right.
This is Martha. And Martha, what are the two books by local authors you recommend?
Well, they're both books of short stories. One is called Blue Land, and it's by an author named C.D. Collins.
I see Josh Cook of Porter Square Books nodding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys have that. Yeah, I think she's a really good writer. She kind of tends to write about troubled characters, and I really like her writing style, and there's a lot of insight there, too.
And your other recommendation?
The other one is by Will Lupins is the author, and the book is called Neighbor. Like I said, it's another book of short stories, and he's got kind of a range. Some of them are really touching, some are more comic. He's got some that are, you know, science fiction.
Thank you for that. Mark Pearson of Brookline Booksmith,
yes.
Since we just had a caller who wanted to recommend local books, tell us what you recommend in terms of best Boston-themed book of the year.
Well, I really enjoyed Eden on the Charles, by Michael Rawson. And I went, it's not your typical book on infrastructure, but it's about the engineering marvels that have happened to transform Boston into what we have now. And there's a lot of it's about how between the 18th and 19th century, the common was just transformed from a cow pasture to this place of solace and leisure.
We got a copy of this book on our show, as we get many copies of it.
It
seemed to be basically about how when cities were being formed, they incorporated nature or used nature.
They
dredged Boston Harbor to make it, to make a deeper harbor kind of thing.
To make it deeper. And then there's a lot about the class conflicts over water rights. And there's a lot of echoing of what we heard with the healthcare bill about privatization versus basic civic rights to water. So it's really interesting to see that from you know, a couple hundred years ago, still being like a prominent theme in our lives.
Let me turn to Josh Cook of Porter Square Books for your recommendation, Josh, on a good Boston-themed book this year.
Sure. Well, Ted Williams hitting a home run in his last at-bat at Fenway Park has to be one of the greatest moments in Boston sports, if not one of the greatest moments in sports and Boston history. And John Updike was there and captured it all in an essay called The Hub Fans Bid the Kid Adieu.
But this is a quite old essay, isn't it?
It's an old essay. It originally ran in New Yorker in 1965. And what they have done is the Library of America has produced a commemorative book that collects this essay along with an additional essay that John Updike wrote before he died to honor the 50th anniversary of this event.
We have another caller. This is Susan from Alston, who also has a recommendation by a local author. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My recommendation is called Fantasy Freaks and Gaming Geeks by Ethan Gilsdorf. And Ethan Gilsdorf is a wonderful writer. He writes for the Boston Globe and the New York Times. And he actually lives in Somerville. He's a wonderful writer. And I really recommend Fantasy Freaks and Gaming Geeks.
Thank you very much for that, Susan. And Josh and Mark, it looked like both of you are quite familiar with
one. Yeah.
Is it selling well?
And he's been making the rounds. I think he probably read it at both of our stores, assuming.
Yep.
And a very funny, very fun book.
Mark Pearson, who is your pick this year for Best Boston Author?
Well, I picked Gail Caldwell, she wrote a terrific, amazing, beautiful memoir called Let's Take the Long Way Home, which I'm sure you're aware of, friendship with Caroline Knapp,
who wrote Drinking a Love Story, another Boston author.
Right.
And I think actually Josh Cook of Porter Square Books, this was your best local author pick, too.
It was, yeah. It was a staff pick at our bookstore. It was an Indie Next List pick. It won the New England Book Award for Nonfiction. And I think it really succeeds where memoirs are supposed to. It tells us something about life in general through telling a story about a life in particular.
That's well put. So Gail, of course, was a columnist for the Globe for a long time. She's written quite a bit. How about best new local author, since we might not call Gail Caldwell a new local author? Josh Cook, Porter Square Books, you want to weigh in on that first?
Sure. The Quickening by Michelle Hoover is a debut novel set in the early 1900s in the upper Midwest with the Depression looming. Her prose really captures the grit and struggle of just kind of farming food out of dirt. It's been praised up and down by the Boston Globe, New Yorker, Margot Livesey, Ron Rash, Charles Baxter.
And Michelle Hoover teaches writing at both BU and Grub Street, I believe, so another local. Mark Pearson, your choice for best new Boston local author?
This is a little bit of a fun one. It's a graphic memoir called Good Eggs by Phoebe Potts, and it is hilarious. It's heartbreaking. It has this brazen honesty and homespun tragedy that, akin to maybe Alison Bechdel's Fun Home, if you remember that one. It's just a lot of fun. It's set in Gloucester, where Phoebe lives, and it's basically about her husband and her trying to conceive and failing.
I just saw a copy of this book because it came through our show last week, and you know, I saw the cover about a couple struggling with infertility. It didn't sound that new, but then I opened it, and really, the entire thing is animated.
It's
illustrated.
Memoir,
It's basically a strip of cartoons in a pretty large book.
Yeah,
so it's quite an interesting approach. I want to bring in another caller. This is Suzanne calling from Tingsboro, and Suzanne, we're talking about books and local book sales, and interested in your thoughts on all that.
Yes, I'm a high school English teacher in a large urban district. My students are very savvy technologically, but they still love books. You know, a lot of them have e-readers, but when it comes time to hand out the novels, I've had students gasp when they see novel covers that they haven't seen before. Or I've had students actually pick books up and smell them. They were so excited to get them. So I think that there's something about books, you know. I think that there's something about holding the book in your hand and you know, being able to cuddle up with it at night and read it and get into it. I think that's something that it's missing with the e-readers, you know?
Suzanne, thanks for that. Josh Cook and Mark Pearson, I assume you see that with your own customers.
Oh, yeah, big time. You know, I mean, imagine handing, you know, a friend of yours a tattered copy of a book that you adored and kind of that transaction versus, dude, you got to download this.
Dennis Lehane, of course, the well-known Dennis Lehane, has a new book out this fall, Moonlight Mile. Dennis lives part of the year now, only part, I think,
Florida.
In Boston, and this is another Boston-based book. Have you, the two of you, read this, and is this one you recommend?
I have not. I'm actually not a huge mystery reader. He has those in the store who are generally recommend him pretty hands down. He's almost a guaranteed successful read. I know a couple people have enjoyed Moonlight Mile so far. It's a sequel to, I think, Gone Baby Gone.
Picks up where Gone Baby Gone left off.
So if you've been waiting to find out where those characters go from there, this is a great opportunity.
Lehane is, of course, very well known. Do the two of you have any picks for most overlooked books or sort of under-the-radar books of the year? Josh Cook of Porter Square Books, do you want to start?
Sure. I didn't go local with this one. I went with something that almost got national attention, a book called I, Hotel by Karen Tay Yamashita. It was a finalist for the National Book Award, but didn't seem to pick up the attention that it deserved. Its prose is vibrant, energetic, just sweeps you along. But it also has a depth of artistry in the images, the events, and the words that you can slow down and really sink your teeth into.
This is a book generally about San Francisco.
Yep, set in Chinatown. But it's set at the center of a lot of the radical leftist movements that were happening in that era, something that I think a lot of our listeners would at least associate a little bit with. And it's wonderful to read and look back at what did and did not change as a result of the efforts. The characters are vibrant. The story is wonderful. It really is a fantastic read.
Tell us that title and author again.
I, Hotel. I, the letter, comma, Hotel. And it's Karen Tay Yamashita.
And Mark Pearson of Brookline Booksmith, your pick for the most overlooked book of the year.
Well, I don't know how overlooked this was, but it did get a little bit of attention, but I don't think it got enough. It's local. It's called Running the Books, The Adventures of an Accidental Prison Librarian by Avi Steinberg.
Someone we had on the show a few months
ago.
Yeah,
you did.
He was a prison librarian at South Bay House of Corrections.
South Bay House of Corrections for 2 years. And, he, you know, he relays the crazy life of being a prison librarian. And he also ties in his family history of growing up in an Orthodox Jewish family and kind of how he breaks rank with that. And he talks about how he becomes enamored and friends with these cons who, like, one of them's aspiring to have a cooking show called Thug Sizzle, right? And, you know, he finds that he's starting to break rank at the prison as well, out of his love for these people. So you can kind of, he kind of ties those two elements together.
Thank you for that. I want to ask actually one more question of Josh Cook, because Josh, you are a bookseller at Porter Square Books, but you also have the title of online presence manager. Yeah. What does that mean in today's
welcome to the 21st century. Basically, it means that I don't do some of the things you would expect a webmaster to do. So for example, I can't handle our online database. I don't write our search engine. We use a website provided by the American Booksellers Association. But all of the content, that all that presence, whether it's on our website, on our blog, through our Facebook account or on our Twitter, I manage it. I do the content, what design the templates allow me. And then when somebody calls in and says, can I read an ebook with this? The staff says, Josh, come tell them if they can read this with this. So.
Well, and speaking of ebooks, when people buy ebooks, in most cases, there's not a way for a local bookstore to benefit from that. Is that right? Although, has this changed slightly with, is this the Amazon Audible.com? Is that where you can get a piece of?
We use Google. Google is now doing their own ebooks called Google Reader.
Oh, that's right. They allow independent booksellers a way to sell books in digital format.
Correct.
But in a way that you benefit from profit-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, it works in much the same way that selling a regular book does. There's a price set by the publisher, and then there are discounts that we, as booksellers and as the distributors, you know, get from that. And it's the same thing. There are some complexities in terms of how publishers decide to price. There's a whole other world called agency pricing, which is very confusing and very challenging for us. But in general, Buying an ebook from us benefits us the same way buying a regular book would.
Mm. One more caller I want to bring in. This is Dana calling from Barnstable. And Dana, your thoughts about books that you recommend this year, your thoughts about books in general coming up on the holiday season.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, well, I second the last caller about the intimacy and wonder of, and, you know, on the physical, the tactile of holding a book rather than reading a screen. It makes the what you're reading come alive. My recommendation, Hopes and Prospects by Noam Chomsky. It's a book about how, you know, some of the issues he's covered about American foreign policy and class distinctions in the United States, and the movements that are challenging all that, that are forming in the 21st century, especially in Latin America. It's a great read. He soberly documents his evidence, and it really gives us angles on the news that we're not hearing.
Dana, thank you for that very much. Josh Cook and Mark Pearson, before you go, do the two of you read books on e-readers?
I only saw one recently,
this
actually.
Is my question. Really?
In the break room at my store, even anonymous coworker of mine showed me hers.
So I'll take it you've not transitioned over to e-readers yet.
I could say so, yeah.
And Josh Cook of Porter Square Books, have you?
I have. I've read a couple of books. One of the things I like is my penmanship is terrible, so being able to type notes instead of scribbling them in the margins is a good advantage. But if I want everyone to know on the train that I've finally picked up Infinite Jest or some other impenetrable work,
you can't.
A book
write.
Is the only way to.
They got to see the.
They got to
see the cover. Yeah. Mark, why haven't you? Why haven't you transitioned over to ebooks?
I just have very little interest in it. I probably have the same sentiments as those who called already. I just love the intimacy of it. I love the smell of it. I love being able to give it to a friend of mine. And some other folks have made the point as to it being an extension of who you are as something within your house. I don't know how many times I've struck up conversations with people I've newly met, maybe having dinner at their place, and they have books that we share. So I like that level of connection.
Sure. I think a lot of people relate to that. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Pearson is the buyer at Brookline Booksmith, and Josh Cook is a bookseller at Porter Square Books. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Listeners, for more information, go to our website, wbur.org/Boston, and you can go there to post your own recommendations for local books and local authors, too. We're about to take a break, but when we come back, ballet is in the news, and it's not all twirly tutus and pretty pliés. We talk about the state of ballet in Boston, and we'll be taking your calls. This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Stay with us.